Good evening. The Shir on Vayikra is in honor of Mr. Daniel Leitman, Zichrono Libracha. Mr. Leitman was one of the earliest supporters of the yeshiva and Bruria, and we remember him fondly for that reason. Also, his daughter, one of our first students, has remained a close friend and supporter of the yeshiva and the various activities. Thank you again, and our honor to Mr. Daniel Leitman. We're starting the book of Vayikra. And you know, the Ramban taught us that books have themes, that books are about topics. The Ramban taught us that the first book of the Torah, Bereishit, is about creation, Yitzirah, the word Yitzirah. The second word that applies to the book of Shemot is Geula, redemption. But now that the world has been created, and the creation of the world means, of course, the creation of Am Yisrael, because they ultimately are the justification for the existence of the world in some way or other. We have to think about it, but there's no doubt that Am Yisrael, the existence of Am Yisrael, and the existence of the world are a kind of a package deal. That's the way it is. But Am Yisrael had to go, in order to become Am Yisrael, they had to go through some difficulty. A part of that difficulty was slavery in Egypt, then wandering in the desert, then wars in the eastern side of the Jordan River, then on the western side of the Jordan River in Eretz Canaan. These are difficulties that we had to go through. We had to suffer them in order to become what we were supposed to become, which is redeemed, Geula. But the book of Vayikra, which is the book that follows Shemot, follows Geula, I mean, I understand that it has a place, but how does it fit into the grander scheme of things? The scheme of things that started with the book of Bereishit, Yitzirah, and continued with the book of Shemot, Geula. And we come up to the book of Vayikra, which is a book of rules and regulations, mostly, about the Beit HaMikdash and the Korbanot, about Tumah V'Tahara, about kosher animals and unkosher animals. All of these things are very important. But how would we name them? How would we name them? So we look to the Ramban to create a name. But before we get to the Ramban, I want to look at the last psukim in the book of Shemot. The last psukim in the book of Shemot, and then the first pasuk in the book of Vayikra, in order to understand where the seam is, where Shemot and Vayikra come together. So take a look. If you have the sheet, so that's great. If you don't have the sheet, then you can look at the Chumash. A new idea, brand new idea. The end of Shemot, the last five psukim. Listen. Vayichas ha'anan et ol moed u'chod Hashem alei et ha'mishkan. Vayichas ha'anan, there was a cloud that covered ol moed. Ol moed is the building, the central building in the Mishkan, which was just built. The Mishkan, the tabernacle, was just built. And then kvod Hashem alei et ha'mishkan. Kvod Hashem. I don't know if Kod Hashem is the Anan, or it was something different, but let's say it was there was an Anan in the Mishkan. But people knew that this Anan represented the presence of God. It was not simply a rain cloud, certainly not. And then Pasuk Lamed Hei says, Lo Yachol Moshe Lavo El Ohel Moed. Something happened. Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to come into the Ohel Moed, into the tent or enter this building, which was in the Mishkan, which was in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle. Ki shachan alav ha'anan, because the anan, this cloud, this glory of God, was dwelling upon it. Uchvod Hashem, alei et ha'mishkan. In other words, it was crowded. It was crowded. There was something on top of the Mishkan and something in the Mishkan. And so Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't go into that Mishkan. But I just ask you to remember, who went up onto Har Sinai? Who received the Luchot from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tablets of stone? Who came down with those tablets and with the Torah that he would then dispense to Am Yisrael? Wasn't that Moshe Rabbeinu? So at the end of the book of Shemot, not only does the pasuk speak about the glory of the achievement of Am Yisrael in building the Mishkan, after all, they created a place for the presence of God. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. I mean, like, you know, you wouldn't take a novice and tell him to build a bridge. You wouldn't take a novice and tell him to go and speak to a Kodesh Baruch. But Moshe Rabbeinu did that. He was far from a novice in somehow having something to do with the Kodesh Baruch. He was not a novice. And yet, at the end of the parasha of Pekudei, right? At the end of the parasha of Pekudei, the Torah says unequivocally, right? Not unequivocally, read the pasuk again, Lo yachol Moshe lavo el ol moed. New rules. Moshe Rabbeinu cannot penetrate, cannot go in, cannot do actually what he has done. That Talmud, that Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, takes on a new form. And that form is going to be that God calls Moshe Rabbeinu and says, come in, I have a little more Torah to give you. He gets the Torah, he comes out, and he teaches Bnei Yisrael. Instead of Moshe Rabbeinu being the impetus for receiving the Torah, for giving the Torah, for passing on the Torah, he is rather the agent. He's a regular agent. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to function. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls him. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in teaching Torah at that moment. So Moshe Rabbeinu is out of a job. Pasuk Lamed Vav Be'alot Ha'anan Me'al HaMishkan Yisu B'nei Yisrael B'kol Ma'aseihem. And now the Anan is not simply representing the presence of God, but also represents the will of God. And what does God want? Well, God wants sometimes B'nei Yisrael to camp, and sometimes to move. So it's the Anan that tells us this story. Let's move, let's stay, let's camp, let's decamp. All of this was part of the job of the Anan, not only representing the presence of God, but representing the will of God. And the will of God, of course, in prosaic human terms. Stand, sit, go, come. That all was the will of, that became the will of God. And then Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Lo ye'ale he'anan velo yis'u ad yom he'alato. If the anan sits in its place and does not rise up, indicating the time has come to leave, then that's it, then we stay. We stay where we are. Ki anan Hashem al ha-mishkan yomam, the anan, the cloud of God, sits upon the mishkan, the tabernacle, during the day. Ve'esh ti'elayla bo, and at night there's a fire that burns, a pillar of fire, le'enei kol beit Yisrael, v'chol ma'aseihem. And that somehow the pillar of fire at night, and the Anan, the cloud during the day, they become the actual leaders of Bnei Yisrael. So you see that leadership, if you remember, we spoke about it last week, I think, that leadership, that the leader of Am Yisrael which was an exclusively the providence of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu was getting orders directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which meant actually that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the leader. That changed. The leadership passed to the pillar of fire, to the Anan HaKavod, to the cloud of the Kavod. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself became a follower. He followed the Anan. He followed the Esh, the pillar of fire. When it comes to meeting up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, that changed. Moshe Rabbeinu went up at Har Sinai, the end of the parasha of Mishpatim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Moshe Rabbeinu and says, come up on the mountain. You alone, come up on the mountain. And you'll stay with me 40 days and 40 nights and probably learn all of the mitzvot of the Torah. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas now, that's sort of changed. The emphasis here is on the fact that there is a cloud, but Moshe Rabbeinu can't come in. He can't come in because there's a cloud. The presence of God takes up the room. And so things have changed. On the one hand, we've experienced geula, we've experienced redemption, but on the other hand, our position is not what it was. We're not quite as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, you might say, Lulu the Mr. Fina would say that maybe it's the Cheta Egel that caused this change, as the Torah itself indicates, that the sin of the golden calf is not forgiven. Not forgiven, and because it's not forgiven, it prevents certain kinds of things from happening. So that's what the Gemara says. That's what the Pasuk says. We look at Rashi. It's important to know what Rashi says. Lo yechol Moshe lebo l'ol mo'ed. Moshe Rabbeinu was not able, as the Pasuk says, to go into ol mo'ed. V'katuv echad omer, another Pasuk says, u'bevo Moshe l'ol mo'ed, that Moshe Rabbeinu did come into ohel mo'ed, into the tent. There's a third pasuk that we have to read in order to understand how we divide up the two psukim. Ki shachein alav ha'anan, amo me'ata, kol zman shaya alav ha'anan, lo haya yachol lavo. Istalek anan nechnas. That according to Rashi, it's not the ultimate reshut permission that Moshe Rabbeinu had to come in to see God, but that there were times that he could come in and times he could not come in. That's the way Rashi understands the difference between what was and what is, right? What was and what is. And then the last pasuk, Lenei Kol Beit Yisrael B'chol Masehem, right? That's the last pasuk. Before the eyes of Kol Bnei Yisrael B'chol Masa Shayu Nos'im Haya Anan Shochein B'makom Asher Yechanu Sham. Every time they moved in the desert, the Anan kind of made it to the place and stopped there. Makom Kaniyatan Afukarai Masa, that even the place where they dwelled, where they camped, is also called Masa, trip. V'chein v'yelech l'masa'av, v'chein ele masa'ai l'fisha mimakom ha'chanaya chazru v'nas'u. Rashi deals with the pasuk, with a word, with the difficult word. Masa means to move. It sounds like it means to move, but it actually could mean to stay, to camp. That's what Rashi helps us with. So we see we get the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu's position is changing and is not quite what it was. Okay? So now, here we are, the first pasuk in the parasha Vayikra, right? The parasha Vayikra is the first parasha in the next book, which is also called Vayikra. The pasuk says this. I hope you see it. The first pasuk in Vayikra. Vayikra Moshe, and God called out to Moshe. Vayidaber Hashem Elav, and God spoke to him. Me'ol Mo'ed Le'mos, obvious, the kind of thing that Rashi is going to jump on right away, is what do you need? Vayikra Moshe, Vayidaber Elav. If the pasuk would have said, just Vayidaber Elav, that God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, so I would know. I would know that the God, Vayikra el Moshe, I mean, why is that important? Why is that necessary? So that's the pasuk. Now, on the printed page that I have in front of me, you don't see the fact that there's a small aleph in the word Vayikra. But there is. Not only is there a small aleph in the printed Chumash, but there's a small aleph in the Chumash that we read from in Shul. Right? What we read from in Shul. So now let's see. Let's see whether we can make something out of Rashi. How does Rashi make something out of this? Vayikra Moshe, l'chol dibrot, l'chol amirot, l'chol tzibuyim, kadma kriya. So Rashi says, even though in other places in the Chumash, the pasuk just says "Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor," we should know that this pasuk creates a pattern, which is always true. At first, God called Moshe, and then God spoke to Moshe. So this is, we read the Rashi again: "Lekol dibrot ulechol amirot diber." Right, the verb "diber," the verb "amar," and the verb tziva, kadma kriya, lishon chiba, Rashi says. And the reason for this is the reason that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu used this introduction of Vayikra El Moshe is because of love. That there was a special relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. It's also the words that the angels use. Shineimar pasuk in Yeshayahu, v'karaze elze. They called out one to the other and they said, "Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh." V'karaze elze. Okay, karaze elze. Aval l'nevi'ei umota olam. Nigla alehem v'lishon arai v'tum'ah. So Rashi chooses this pasuk to clarify a real issue that is in part the result of the first two books of the Torah, but not only. But in the first two books of the Torah, Reshit and Shemot, it doesn't seem that prophecy is limited to Jews who are superior, as the Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim, or the Rambam says in the Yad HaChazakah. Also, that Nevuah, to become a Navi, to become a prophet, you have to assume a superior personality. And here in the books of Bereishit and Shemot, we have God speaking to and listening to and receiving directives and giving out directives to non-Jews. From the time of Abraham, I mean, even if you'll say that Abraham was, from the time of Abraham, Lot, people who are maybe Terach. I mean, people who are certainly not the kind of people we want to look up to. I mean, we're not talking about Bilam and Abimelech and an endless number of non-Jews who are the recipients of prophecy, who are recipients of prophecy. So Rashi says, Aval minivei'e umot olam nigdar lehem v'lashon ara'i v'tum'ah. Ara'i means not permanent, temporary. And tum'ah means a certain kind of level of uncleanness that we don't want to aspire to. So Yishenemar, this is what it says in the book of Bamidbar, Vayikar, Elokim El Bilam. Vayikar, Vav Yud Kuf Resh, right? You know, it's a truncated word. The Aleph at the end is missing. It's not Vayikra, but Vayikar. So Rashi says, everybody understands. This Vayikra means love. And Vayikar means I'd like to get away with this conversation, but I have no choice. So that the difference between the prophecy of Avram Avinu and the prophecy of Bilam is that the first is chiba, love and appreciation, and the second, vayikar, is tuma, uncleanliness, and arai, something that's temporary, it doesn't last, it's not going to stay. And therefore, Rashi finds that this point in the discussion, the time when Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to go into the Olam Moed whenever he wished, where Moshe Rabbeinu was made aware of the fact that he also had spiritual limitations, and that even though Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who brought the Torah into the world, it's not true that that capacity remains with Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately and forever. But Moshe Rabbeinu himself has to give in to the people who he was leading. After all, leading, they ought to lead the people of Israel from A to B, from Egypt to Eretz Canaan. He had to be connected to them. He couldn't be disconnected, which is why ultimately you remember that Miriam and Aaron, they were disappointed in Moshe Rabbeinu. Why were they disappointed in Moshe Rabbeinu? Because he was spiritually unavailable. He was beyond them. And so they complained, Moshe Rabbeinu is not our leader. Yes, he's a great person. He's something special. I mean, he's something that we've never seen anything like that before. We would accept any directive that he would give, but he's not really our leader, Miriam and Aaron. Right? He's not really our leader because he's out of our league, so to speak. But to be the leader of a nation, you have to be connected to that nation sufficiently that they would be willing to follow you. And in the book of Bamidbar, you saw that Moshe Rabbeinu had that problem. The people knew who he was. That wasn't the issue. They understood who Moshe Rabbeinu was. But he wasn't what he, it was, you see a kind of diminishing of Moshe Rabbeinu's status at the end of the book of Shemot and at the beginning of the book of Vayikra, a recovery. By the end of the book of Shemot, we say Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't go into the Olam Moed. Then in Vayikra, we say sometimes he could and sometimes he couldn't. And that's all hidden in the word Vayikra. And you know that in the printed versions and in the written, the Ktav Sofer that we read from in Shul, on Shabbat, on Monday, and Wednesday, right, we read from the Sefer Torah, there's a little Aleph. There's a little Aleph, and Rashi, for some reason, does not relate, does not mention, does not indicate that there's a little Aleph. However, in the drasha that he brings, in the words that he brings to bear on this on this pasuk. He says, oh, Vayikra, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayikar, without an aleph, that's Bilam. Now, couldn't that be an explanation for the fact that there might have been a little aleph at the end of the word Vayikra? And then you could say that maybe in the Chumash that Rashi was using, that he didn't have a little aleph, but Rashi somehow sometimes quotes the drasha on strange psukim or strange letters that don't really exist, but they're in a Chazal. They're in the Chazal, for example. Here, if you look in the Bereishit, one second. There we are. Noach matza chein v'einei Hashem. The last pasuk in the parasha of Bereishit. Noach matza chein. So what does it say? One second. I'm with you. Here we are. Vayaratz, the last words of the parash of Noach, I'm sorry, the last three words of the parash of Noach are Vayamot Terach v'Charan. Terach died in Charan, Charanu, right? That's where he died. Rashi says, Hanun hafucha. If you look at the Nun, Chet Resh Nun, Charan, right? There's one Nun in the word. He says, if you look at the Nun and you look at the head of the Nun, which is supposed to be facing out, away from the word, you see it's turned around. You see, it's turned Nun Havucha, Lomalecha, Ad Avram, Charonav Shel Makom, to tell you something, that God's anger at the created world ended with Avraham. Avraham was the sign of something important that happened. But if you look carefully, you see that the Charan, that the Nun of Charan is not turned around. Just Rashi says it's turned around. So two possibilities. One is that Rashi had a Chumash where it was turned around. And the other is that Rashi didn't care. The Chazal had a Chumash like that. Somebody had a Chumash like that. It wasn't something that they probably invented. So you see that Rashi makes a drasha here at the beginning of Vayikra, which seems to be based on the idea, really based on the idea that the aleph is small. So the fact that the aleph is not small doesn't really matter. I mean, you could say whatever you want to say, you can make a drasha about it, but you understand that what Rashi is emphasizing is that in spite of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's glory or relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed after Matan Torah and the Chet HaEgel, his relationship still was beyond whatever we imagined the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Goyim might have been. Let's look a little bit at the at the introduction of the Ramban. I told you that the Ramban taught us, Ravan taught us that Bereshit is the book of Yetzirah, of creation, the entire book, creation of Am Yisrael, the creation of the people who would be worthy of receiving the Torah, and that the book of Shemot was the book of Geula, the book of redemption. So Rashi, so the Ramban writes an introduction to the book of Vayikra. If you have a Mikraot Gedolot, you'll find it there. Asefa Zehu Torat Kohanim v'Halevim. He says this book, the book of Vayikra, is about Kohanim and Leviim. Yiva'er bo in Yanei HaKorbanot Kulal. It'll tell us about the sacrifices. U'mishmeret HaMishkan, and who watches over the Mishkan. Ki kasher haya sefer echad v'inyan HaGalut. V'ha'gu'ula mimenu v'shlimo v'inyan o'el mo'ed u'kvod Hashem Hashem mo'ed ha'mishkan tzivahu v'korbanot. This is the proper order of things. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Moshe Rabbeinu explained to the people about Yetzirah and led them out into the world, you know, redeemed. So he says, so that's the time, the proper time for sacrifices. So again, according to the Ramban, what happened at the end of Shemot, the beginning of Vayikra? Well, there's a Mishkan, and the Mishkan was the house of God, meaning that the presence of God, right? Remember the Oel Moed and the Anan and another Anan, Kvod Hashem, Anan Hashem, they're all right there in the middle of the Machaneh. So that's not like an easy burden for regular people to assume. He says you need a method by which B'nai Yisrael could purify themselves on a daily basis, enabling them to maintain the connection to Kavod Hashem, to the glory of God, and to the Anan Hashem. V'tzivau b'kohanim anigashim el Hashem, sheyitkadshu, sheyizhir al tum'at mikdash v'kedashav. Right, you know, we have to keep the Beit HaMikdash clean and pure. V'gam shelo yiharsu la'alot el Hashem. This is the Ramban. The Ramban says, just as we were permitted from running up the mountain at the time of Har Sinai, so too we are prohibited at all times from going up that mountain. Kamo shamad daber el Aharon achicha v'yavo b'chol eit el HaKodesh v'beit laparochet al p'nei hakaporet asher al ha'aron v'lo yamutu. You have to deference this Oel Moed. It's not just another place. Ki be'anan yirehel al kaporet. Right, this is the pasuk that describes God's presence in the machaneh, in the camp of Yisrael. Ki azharat pen yersu el Hashem l'rot v'nafalim pnei harav. What will happen if they run up into the that room? Many will die. V'chakach yagbil ha-mishkan k'hagbalot har Sinai v'eit hayot sham kavod Elohei Yisrael. So again, the Ramban says what happened was that the model of it's always Har Sinai, and that the place has to be protected, right? Has to be. That's what we're witnessing. And then he goes on. That's the first part. The second part, the Ramban says, in Erov Hasefer Hazeh, v'Korbanot, v'Torat HaKorban HaMakrivim. Uvimekom sheyitkarev bo, v'yavo ubo ktsat mitzvot. Ha'nigrarot im eile, ki mitchila tziva b'korbanot ha'nedava, v'asa ha'chele v'adam v'avuram. V'achreichem b'korbanot ha'chet. So the Ramban goes on to say that because of the necessity of shmirah, of making sure that we can take care of and watch over and treat properly the Mishkan and the Olam Moed. So naturally, it makes sense that this would be the place in the Torah that the Torah would explain to us about the Korbanot, etc. And then Tumah v'Tahara, I'm skipping a little of the Ramban. Again, Vod ki shogeg b'hem. I'm near it to the bottom. He says then even at the end there's some the Torah tells us about the Moadim, about the special days where we give special korbanot, also part of the deal. Vayom v'yomo v'rov parshiyot ha-sefer hazeh yidaber bahen im ha-kohanim daber al Aaron v'al banav tzav et Aaron v'et banav u'v'parshat kidoshim tiyu k'tzat mitzvot libnei Yisrael rubam nigrarot im inyanim in inyanei ha-korbanot bedomim lahem. So you see that according to the Ramban, things have changed. Even though the Torah is given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu receives is the Torah that he teaches B'nai Yisrael, even though all of that is true. Nevertheless, there are already subtle differences that appear in the presentation of the Torah in the book of Vayikra. And those differences are that the psukim are addressed variously to Kohanim, to Leviim, to Chotim, to sinners, because they become part of the process. And when, even though Moshe Rabbeinu, we're in the famous interpretation of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, who said that I'm Moshe Rabbeinu, there's something wrong with me if I can't save Am Yisrael, it must be a lack of anava, of humility. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, erase me, Mecheni Navi Sifrich, erase me, take me out. I mean, it must be that the cause of the lack of humility that I'm expressing is because my name appears so often in the Torah. So even though Rav Nachman doesn't say this, but I'm telling you that here you see in the Ramban, who lived quite a few years before Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, Rav Nachman says, you know, it's not Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah anymore. It's the Torah of the Kohanim. It's the Torah of the Leviim. It's the Torah even of the Chotim, as strange as that sounds. But the address has moved from Moshe Rabbeinu to everybody. And we know that there is this ongoing problem that the Jews had, that the Jewish people had, about, you know, who's the Torah? Who does the Torah belong to? So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there's a change. The difference between Bereshit and Shemot on the one hand and Vayikra is that Bereshit and Shemot is about charismatic leadership. Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, these are the leaders of Am Yisrael, and then finally culminating in Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the leader. But the problem with leadership is that you could get to the point where you feel you can't do without it. I mean, what are we going to do? And so Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership had to be attacked, and the Torah had to be justified in spite of the attack on Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what Vayikra is in part according to the Ramban and Rashi. So we say it again. Rashi said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayikra. And that was true even after he couldn't go into the Ohel Moed at will, but had to wait for an invitation. Whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message to the non-Jewish prophets in the world, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message was always, you know, Arai, something temporary, something unclean, Tum'ah. There's no comparison, according to Rashi. It may seem at first blush that they're all the same, but no, that's not the case. They're not all the same. And so we get into the book of Vayikra, and we see that the book of Vayikra is similar in some ways to the book of Shmos and Bereishis. There's a theme, there's a subject matter, there's an idea, and this is all put forth by Rashi and the Ramban. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbat and a good weekend, and we should all be happy. All the sick is not worth it. All the best.